Good afternoon. I'm Kathy Lewis. E-cigarettes are a trend on fire, or maybe we should say vapor. The popularity of these battery-powered devices is on the rise as tens of thousands of smokers turn to this tobacco alternative. A relatively new phenomenon, e-cigarettes provide a dose of nicotine carried within water vapor, which presumably offers a safer alternative to traditional tobacco. But the health risks have not been evaluated by the FDA. And on today's broadcast, we'll consider the growing popularity of this industry, talk with experts in the fields of pulmonary medicine, addiction, and tobacco treatment, as well as somebody who owns three stores that sell e-cigarettes, after this news. Good afternoon. Great to have you with us today. I don't know if you are aware of this on this beautiful afternoon here in Hampton Roads, but today is recognized as William Shakespeare's 450th birthday. There you have it. There will be no quiz on William Shakespeare today, but we did just want to note that in passing, and so that's a great day. We're talking today, though, about something that's hitting a lot closer to home here in the Commonwealth of Virginia, indeed across the country, and that is the growing popularity of e-cigarettes, and so we'll talk about that in the course of this hour. We'll talk about what an e-cigarette is, why they're becoming so popular. We'll talk with someone who owns three locations of a store called Pioneer Vapes that sells e-cigarettes. We'll talk with Delegate Dave Albo about his legislation that related to the sale of e-cigarettes to minors. And we'll also talk with a professor of psychology at Virginia Commonwealth, the co-director of their Center for the Study of Tobacco Products, to find out what we really know about tobacco now, how that research has changed over time. So what we'd love to know is whether you have had experience with e-cigarettes. Give us a call at 440-2665 or 1-800-940-2240, wondering if you, as some are trying to use them as a way to step down from a cigarette addiction, a tobacco cigarette addiction. We're wondering if that's been your story today. And so we're wondering where you are on this issue of e-cigarettes. 440-2665, 1-800-940-2240 are the numbers where you can join us today. You can also join us, by the way, on our Facebook page as well. So, what is an e-cigarette? An e-cigarette is it's a device with a battery-powered heating element that warms liquid, turns it into vapor, and you can essentially pick the level of this liquid nicotine that you want, so that you can sort of create your experience there, if you will. Some of these have sealed cartridges that hold this liquid nicotine, and others have compartments or tanks where you can fill your own liquid. And so that's kind of what an e-cigarette is. We're glad to have Joshua Sill with us today. He's a pulmonary specialist at EVMS Health Services. Dr. Sill, nice to have you with us today.
Thanks. It's great to be here.
So have you seen many of your patients using e-cigarettes yet, or is it still so new you maybe haven't seen it so much?
Yes, I have actually had a number of patients who've switched over to e-cigarettes in an attempt to quit smoking. Some of them have brought their cigarettes into the office with me to ask my opinion about it and to talk about those kinds of things.
And what do you tell them when they ask your opinion?
I start out by telling them that as their pulmonologist, my first and foremost recommendation is that they not smoke anything. I tell them that we go over the risks of tobacco use and tobacco smoking, and I tell them what we know and what we don't know in regards to electronic cigarettes and the risks. And I tell them, you know, that at the end of the day, if they're able to quit smoking altogether by using the electronic cigarettes temporarily, that's probably a good thing and better than a lifetime use of smoking tobacco. If they're talking about just switching from one habit to another of smoking tobacco to electronic cigarettes, the long-term health risks there are a little bit murkier.
But And the FDA began in 2011 to be asked to take a look at this. And there's some concern, certainly from Senator Dick Durbin, who says he can't really understand why the FDA is taking so long to look at regulations on this industry. For you as a physician, what does it mean to say that the FDA hasn't weighed in on that? What would be important to you or not important to you about that?
Yeah, so there, you know, obviously there are a lot of medical therapies out there in terms of medications, supplements, medical devices, all those kinds of things. As a physician and also as a consumer, it makes you feel a lot better if something is approved by the FDA. That means that it's been tested and is supposed to do what it's billed and it's supposed to work, essentially. Mm-hmm. And then the other is that it's supposed to be safe. And so with as much certainty as you can get from studies and whatnot, you look and the purity is supposed to be verified and those types of things. So if something is approved by the FDA, it's supposed to work and it's supposed to be safe, as safe as can be. And the, you know, the contents are supposed to be as labeled on the packaging.
So that if you get it on Monday, it's the same as what you get on Wednesday and the same from all the providers.
Exactly. Yeah. And from brand to brand.
And so I wonder, you know, as somebody whose job is to look after the health of lungs, is there a difference from your perspective in what happens to lungs with e-cigarettes as opposed to what happens to lungs when nicotine is delivered through e-cigarettes as opposed to being delivered through tobacco?
Yes. I mean, I'll start by saying we don't have a lot of long-term data on the effects of e-cigarettes. And so there have been studies done both in Europe and the United States looking at short-term lung function immediately after you smoke the electronic cigarettes. And there's a short-term drop-off in lung function after you smoke either one, you know, just in the minutes or hours afterwards. How that translates into long-term lung function remains to be seen, just because we haven't been smoking e-cigarettes for long enough to have that data available. From a scientific standpoint, it makes sense that the destruction done to the lung should be less with the electronic cigarettes because you don't have all of the smoke and all of the other chemicals that are inhaled through smoking of tobacco. Instead, you're inhaling a relatively harmless vapor, or at least supposedly so,
yeah.
And kind of just isolating the nicotine. So the effects of the nicotine are still there, and certainly that's hard on the cardiovascular system. It has a number of health effects related to it. But the hope is that the damage to the lungs is and the risk for lung cancer may be less.
We're at 14 minutes past the hour, and it's 440-2665, 1-800-940-2240. On our Facebook page, we have a picture of an e-cigarette, one particular version thereof. And we're wondering if you have tried e-cigarettes, what your experience of that is. 440-2665, 1-800-940-2240 are the numbers where you can join us today. We're glad to have Thomas Eisenberg with us today, a professor of psychology at Virginia Commonwealth University. He co-directs their Center for the Study of Tobacco Products. Thomas Eisenberg, thank you for being with us today.
Thanks for asking me, Kathy. It's a pleasure to be here.
You bet. Same question to you. This question of you're looking at the study of tobacco products. What do we know about the difference between what happens when nicotine is delivered through tobacco and when it's delivered through e-cigarettes? Is this part of your study?
Yeah, we're looking at things like that, and I think there are some pretty important differences between what comes out of a tobacco cigarette and what comes out of an electronic cigarette. Dr. Still has already, I think, highlighted the big one, which is nothing is burning with an electronic cigarette, and so you don't have all the pyrolysis products, all the carbon monoxide, polycyclic aromatic hydrocarbons, other well-known carcinogens. You don't have those coming out of the mouth end of an electronic cigarette, whereas, of course, you do from a tobacco cigarette. So right away, there are some pretty important differences.
We know as well there may be social stigma around this as well, and I wonder what your research demonstrates around that question. I mean, is an e-cigarette as socially stigmatized as a tobacco cigarette has become, certainly in public places?
I think that's a pretty important question, and that's one of the many, many, many questions that, again, as Dr. Still highlighted, we haven't had time to address because e-cigarettes simply haven't been with us that long.
Mm.
And coming back to some points you raised earlier, That's the issue with trying to predict the health effects of electronic cigarettes. I'm not at all certain that what is inhaled from an electronic cigarette is benign. It may have some health risks, but because they haven't been around long enough, we haven't had the time even to begin studying them yet.
Yeah, and this is a piece of what your a big piece of what your project, this $18 million 5-year project, is designed to do, to look at e-cigarettes and others of these modified risk tobacco products, because as you say, there hasn't really been much research on these longer term effects. And while we may know some of that with regard to tobacco, I guess one wonders what it might be to do 100 or so inhalations in the course of a couple of years.
Well, more than that, 100 or 200 inhalations per day for week after week, year after year. That's the big question. And I think you're exactly right that the main point of this big project that we started in September is to develop methods where we can more quickly evaluate the effects of these modified risk tobacco products rather than, say, waiting for 10 or 15 years to find out who dies and who's still around.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I just want to remind everybody that it was only about 30 years ago that a large number of people outside and inside the public health community were convinced that light and ultralight cigarettes were a less risky method of using tobacco. And we found out, unfortunately, 15 or 20 years later, that they were as lethal or more lethal than not light and ultralight cigarettes. And we don't want to make that mistake again.
Thomas Eisenberg, professor of psychology at VCU, co-director of the Center for the Study of Tobacco Products. How concerned are you about the fact that the FDA was asked to begin to take a look at this in 2011 and I guess is still planning to assert some authority over it, but really hasn't yet?
Well, my concern doesn't start with the FDA. In fact, it's my understanding that the FDA has crafted what's called a deeming document that is bringing electronic cigarettes under their regulatory authority as tobacco products. They've crafted that document, and it's sitting somewhere outside of the FDA waiting for approval and action. And so my concern is not with the FDA. I think the FDA has done its job as best it can. My concern is where else is a bottleneck so that we don't have regulatory action being taken on these products today.
So the crafting document, help us understand what that means with regard to the FDA's process.
Okay, so deeming document. The authority that FDA has to regulate tobacco products came as an act of Congress in 2009, which President Obama signed. But that authority didn't include electronic cigarettes, nor did it include hookah and some other relatively new tobacco products. And so in order and for that reason, electronic cigarettes and hookah fall in what's been called a regulatory no man's land.
I see.
They're not regulated as tobacco products. They're not regulated as drugs. They are, in fact, totally unregulated in this country. In order for FDA to regulate them as tobacco products, it needs to deem them to fall under their regulatory authority. And it needs to express that in what's been called this deeming document. And that, as I understand it, has been held up outside of the walls of the FDA.
Interesting. Thomas Eisenberg, co-director of the Center for the Study of Tobacco Products. We're going to come to you in just a minute, Caesar and Betsy. Alverine Mack is with us in the studio today. She's a nurse and certified tobacco treatment specialist with Sentara Health and Preventive Services. Nice to have you back with us today. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Are you beginning to see e-cigarettes as part of your coming into your facility?
Yes, we have patients who are asking about, when they call me, they're asking about purchasing the e-cigarette and
as a way to begin to wean themselves off.
To wean themselves,
yeah.
Yes. And so because there's not any hard data, what I say to them is, please talk about it with your doctor. There are obviously less chemicals associated with the e-cigarette, but I cannot professionally say to them, that's fine, do that. But I ask them to please speak with their doctor and make sure they mention what type. There's 200 brands of e-cigarettes, so what type of e-cigarette they're using, and see what the doctors say.
And you have some concern about that from the perspective of not just lung disease, but other problems that may be associated.
Well, yes, cardiovascular diseases, conditions are one of the main, first of all, it's the main killer of folks in the United States, heart disease and heart problems. So nicotine, one of the primary effects of nicotine on the body is that it puts a strain on the heart.
And so perhaps people may not be aware of all of that as well. 21 minutes past the hour, 440-2665, 1-800-940-2240. And again, we're wondering today what your experience is of e-cigarettes. Caesar has a story for us. Hi, Caesar. You're on the air from Chesapeake. Caesar, you're on the air. Go right ahead.
Hi.
Hi.
I just wanted to, I heard your interview and I wanted to mention, like, I'm a cigarette, e-cigarette user. I used to smoke maybe like a pack and a half a day. I was going through, like a lot of chest pains and stuff like that. But ever since I switched to e-cigarettes, like, my health has really improved.
Hmm.
And I know, I've done some research and I know some of the chemicals involved, like polypropylene and vegetable glycerin. And, you know, they seem very, safe. Like, I think polypropylene is actually used in a hospital environment, like for sanitation. And yeah, I just wanted to, you know,
Had a good experience with it.
Oh yeah, excellent experience.
Are you trying to quit, Caesar?
No, I switched habits because cigarettes were obviously causing a lot of harm to me.
I see, yeah. Thank you for the call. I appreciate it very much. We're at 22 minutes past the hour. In fact, at the Virginia Beach Jail, Sheriff Ken Stolle says that he has conducted a poll among his inmates and shows that 85% of the inmates want access to electronic cigarettes, and he has authorized that beginning this month, you can buy electronic cigarettes at the jail's canteen. Let's go to Kelly on the line from Williamsburg. Hi, Kelly. You're on the air. Kelly, you're on the air. Go right ahead.
Hi there.
Hi.
I have a question about etiquette concerning these e-cigarettes. It seems like we have a long way to go in terms of figuring out how to regulate these things. But what about just smoking them? I was in a bookstore in Williamsburg a few weeks ago with my kids, and there was a woman next to me looking at cookbooks who was smoking one of these. And I have to say, it really caught me by surprise. And I started to think, well, have there been any rules established for these things in public places?
You know, those are the kinds of things that sort of evolve with use, right? I mean, it sort of is an evolutionary process, and they're so new, one wonders about that. But I'll ask each of our guests and see if there's a sense of this. Thomas Eisenberg, are you studying at all within the Center for the Study of Tobacco Products this question of social norms around e-cigarettes?
We do have one project that looks at people's attitudes and beliefs about them. I don't have any data to report from that project today. What I can tell you is that there are some jurisdictions which are now beginning to include e-cigarette use in their clean indoor air policies. I've also been in a room where several hundred people have been using these at the same time. This was at a so-called vapors conference in Richmond. And what happens is that a sort of fog begins to gather up at the top of the room. And by the time I left around 9 or 10 o'clock, it was about 2 or 3 feet thick up there. So it's not the case that you won't be breathing something that an electronic cigarette user exhales. It's clearly there in the atmosphere.
And so I don't know that the General Assembly has dealt with that particular issue and whether it is considered the same as smoking tobacco products in public spaces from a legal perspective. I don't know the answer to that.
Well, the one reason why the FDA has been compelled to regulate electronic cigarettes as a tobacco product is because in the D.C. District Court, a judge ruled that because the nicotine that goes into an e-cigarette is derived from the tobacco plant, they are, in fact, tobacco products. So under that ruling, it would seem consistent to me to have e-cigarettes regulated at the very least as other tobacco products are currently regulated today.
So this frequently gets asked a lot by my patients, and so I've done a little research on it. Certainly, I'm not a politician or an expert that, in some of the political things about it, but I know that a lot of the laws that we have against smoking in public came about before the e-cigarettes,
right.
And so it's a matter of interpretation. And so I think that until there are firm laws in place one way or the other, there's going to be a lot of this going on. I know that the Department of Health and Food Services put out a statement, I believe it was in 2009, saying that e-cigarettes were counted, in, at least in terms of restaurants and whatnot, under the Clean Air Act and were prohibited. Then, and I believe it was March of 2010, the Virginia Attorney General kind of reversed that and said that it was not, that it should not be counted under that and was not, and should not be limited, or at least as the law currently stands. And so, again, you have kind of people interpreting it in different ways, and until we get firm laws in place one way or another, I think there's going to be a lot of confusion.
A lot of back and forth on this. Other states have indeed taken action in this regard. Utah, New Jersey, and North Dakota ban the use of e-cigarettes in specific venues, including non-hospitality workplaces, restaurants, and bars. Delaware, they're prohibited from all state workspaces, and that includes indoor and outdoor spaces, anything that's owned by the state. Hawaii has banned the product on all Department of Health properties. Maryland has banned them on their MARC commuter trains, and New Hampshire has prohibited them in public educational facilities and on any state grounds. So in Oklahoma, not allowed in any Department of Correctional facilities. And in Oregon, the state employees are also restricted from using them in state agency buildings. So this is getting some attention in other parts of the country as well. 26 minutes past the hour. We're at 440-2665 or 1-800-940-2240. We're wondering what your experience of e-cigarettes is today. We're wondering what they cost you, how you deal with them. And I think it was a great call we just had from Williamsburg about how you approach this from an etiquette perspective. Do you consider it to be, if you are a smoker of e-cigarettes, for you, is it the same thing as smoking a tobacco cigarette in terms of where you would smoke it and how you would smoke it? Give us a call, 440-2665 or 1-800-940-2240. Betsy's on the line from Smithfield. Hi, Betsy. You're on the air. Oh, Betsy's gone. I'm sorry about that. She wanted to know whether e-cigarettes could be used to deliver medicine. It's an interesting idea. Doctor, what do you think?
Yeah, it is an interesting question. Some of the carrier fluids that have been used in some types of electronic cigarettes, you know, have also been used to deliver, you know, asthma medications and those kind of things. Keep in mind that the amount that you get if you're taking an asthma medication or something like that would be, you know, you're probably far less than using this continuously day after day. So, and also the purity of it is not verified. Again, we don't know what other kind of substances may be in there. So what I would say is that we already have nebulizer devices and kind of the little asthma pumps, the HFAs or MDIs as people refer to them. I would anticipate future medications are probably going to continue to use those because they already are established and they work. Theoretically, could it be done? Probably, but yeah. I doubt it. That will ever come to fruition.
And certainly lots of states, as we just noted, entering this conversation. In some states, wondering whether they may be able to tax e-cigarettes and have a potential revenue source there as well. So follow the money, as they say. 440-2665, 1-800-940-2240. I wonder, Alvarine Mack, how many of the people that you work with are shifting to these e-cigarettes as a way to manage and to reduce and maybe end their addiction to nicotine?
Sorry. I haven't really experienced a lot of people that I'm working with, and most of these people have health issues. And they actually, one of the things they say is, I don't want to go from one thing to another, like what they used to tell me about nicotine patches and everything. And some people have a very deep knowledge of the hand-to-mouth habit.
Yeah.
And for some folks, that's dangerous if they continue doing the hand-to-mouth, they're not going to make a lot of changes.
Yeah,
and
that hand-to-mouth is really a key piece of this, isn't it?
Yes,
because
it
if you
is.
Get used to that physical movement,
yes.
I mean, I've heard people who quit smoking 30 years ago and say they're sometimes still after dinner, they sit with a cup of coffee, and it just, even 30 years on, re-triggers that motion.
Yes, and that folks are recognizing that, I think it's important because it's more, as I said, it's a habit for some people. It's a habit and a dependence for others. And for others, it's an addiction.
Complex, isn't it?
It's very complex, and there is no one approach. And I think the manufacturers are trying to say, well, hey, if you do this, you're going to be okay. Uh-huh. these people have been fighting for years trying to get rid of this habit, and they say, no, I don't think I'm going to be okay.
Yeah. Don't you think this is true about addiction in general, though, that you know, it really is such an individual journey?
Yes.
And there's a lot of tools out there, Doctor. I know you probably experienced this as well. A lot of tools out there. You really have to invest the time to figure out what your particular mix is.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think that different things work well for different people. And again, e-cigarettes are not FDA approved as a smoking cessation tool. We should probably say that. But, you know, for some folks, the patch works. For some folks, it's medications for, to help stem the cravings and those types of things. Other people have more, you know, can quit cold turkey. Some people, it's a combination. But, you know, again, if everything else fails and somebody wants to try this for short term to try to quit smoking and at the end of the day, if they're successful, then I'll be happy about that.
Sandy's on the line from Chesapeake. Hi, Sandy. You're on the air. Sandy,
hello.
Go ahead.
Yes. Hi, Kathy.
Hi.
What I wanted to say was my husband is 78. He started smoking when he was 16.
Wow.
For 20 years, he smoked 2 packs of unfiltered Pall Malls a day.
Wow.
And a couple of years ago, I got to the point where I could not even be in the car with him when we went somewhere, even 15 minutes to go to a restaurant. And I made him start using the e-cigarettes. And then over 15 months ago, he said, I'm just going to stop smoking. It went cold turkey, except he does allow himself, if we are in the car and on a long trip, to use an e-cigarette. But it frankly, it saved our marriage because I could not stand coming home after work and smelling the house, and you'd go to clean your mirrors, and there was all the nicotine on the glass and everything. And I realized that there are issues with the health of, in other words, you are trading kind of one addiction for another. But at least I'm not being subjected to the secondhand smoke, and we can actually go places together that I don't want to throw him out of the car.
Well, Sandy, you know, you said he smoked 2 packs a day of unfiltered cigarettes for 20 years, and then all of a sudden he quit cold turkey, or did he start using the e-cigarette to help him do that?
He started using the e-cigarette to help him do that. He tried and tried, and he's tried ever since I've known him to give up smoking, and never could do it. He's tried nicotine patches, nicotine gum. He tried Chantix, but none of that worked.
Okay.
But at least he, you know, and I think a lot of it is that hand-to-mouth.
Sure.
You just got to have something in your hand, and once you do it, but like I said, I'm sure it's not as bad for his health to be using that e-cigarette. And I know,
Sandy, and this is a great point you're raising, because it has, first of all, I'm sure the restaurant industry is delighted to know that you and your husband can still go to restaurants. That probably is an economic driver there, and I appreciate that. So Sandy's talking about she believes that the health impacts of this are less than him smoking. And I think you'd probably agree with that, Doctor, that
Certainly one e-cigarette, you know, a week is better than 2 packs of unfiltered cigarettes per day. I think we can all agree on that.
I didn't have to go to medical school for that. but what about, she makes an interesting point. I hadn't thought about this on secondhand smoke, basically, is what she's saying. Mm-hmm. So she's been smelling this stuff for all these years. What do we know about secondhand smoke and the impacts from e-cigarettes? Or
well,
I guess there's not smoke, so.
I would say that what we know is very similar to what we know about e-cigarettes in terms of firsthand smoke.
So we really don't know.
Which is that we don't know. We assume it's probably safer than secondhand smoke from burning tobacco, but we don't have good data there. And we don't know with 100% certainty what all is in there and in what concentrations, and so it can be a little bit tricky to figure that out.
And Thomas Eisenberg, is that a piece of your study at the Center for the Study of Tobacco Products, the issue of secondhand, I'm going to call it smoke for lack of a better term?
No, we're not looking at secondhand. We're trying to do a lot of the research to figure out what the effects of firsthand vaping, if you will, what those effects are. And as Dr. Still says, we don't have a lot of information now. I would be very willing to say that somebody who's using electronic cigarette or breathing the secondhand vapor is not going to be dying of the same kind of diseases that cigarette smokers die of. Whether they're going to be dying of vaping-related diseases or not, I couldn't tell you, because as we've sort of agreed here, there just isn't a lot of research about it.
Yeah, Jake is on the line from Virginia Beach. Hi, Jake. You're on the air. Jake, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi. How you doing?
All right.
Hi. I just wanted to throw my hat in the ring and talk a little bit about my experience with the electronic cigarettes.
Okay.
And, I've been vaping now for a little less than a year, whereas before I was smoking almost 2 packs a day since I was about probably 13. I'm 25 now. So my electronic cigarette experience has helped me tremendously. The health aspect, I feel a lot better waking up in the morning. I don't cough. I'm not full of phlegm.
Yeah.
I feel a lot healthier. It's just been an all-around better experience for me.
Jake, are you using the e-cigarette for the purpose of ending your smoking addiction, or are you using it as you transitioned from that to this and you will continue smoking these?
At this point in time, I've transitioned from cigarettes to vaping just as a means to continue on with my nicotine consumption. I guess you'd call it an addiction, really. Just like with anything else, you've got that need, like a few of the other callers have said, that hand-to-mouth need. And another caller said something about after a meal or with a cup of coffee, it's hard to get rid of that desire for that hand-to-mouth.
Yeah, sure.
Emotion.
I hear you, Jake. Thank you for the call. I really appreciate it. Really interesting point. So it should be noted that we've got a couple of people who have called the program today who started smoking when they were 13 and 14 years old. And that's just an interesting thing. And we'll talk a little bit about what that may mean as well. We're glad to have John Espinoza with us today. He owns Pioneer Vapes, which is a retailer specializing in e-cigarettes and vaporizers with locations in Virginia Beach, Chesapeake, and Newport News. John Espinoza, thank you for joining us today. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
You bet. Do you have an average customer in your stores?
No, really, you know what we're finding? We're finding that our customer base is just made up of so many different types of people, of all different age groups, of course, 18 and over, from, from shipyard workers to military people to even a soccer mom.
Yeah. And what are they, what do they tell you about why they are opting for electronic cigarettes? I'm presuming they're probably also, or they have smoked regular tobacco-based cigarettes, correct?
Yeah, we're finding that everybody has a different goal, different perspective that they're trying to achieve. We get customers who are, looking for an alternative for something to replace their cigarette addiction. And then we're also getting, customers who are looking for something to eventually step down to end the habit altogether. All different types, walks of life, all essentially with the same goal in mind, and that's just to put the tobacco products down.
We're at 22 minutes before the hour. We're also talking about the etiquette that begins to evolve around this question of e-cigarettes. Do you ever have people, I'm wondering, John, who come into your shop who haven't smoked before? I mean, who are doing this for the first time, entering at the e-cigarette level?
Yeah, actually, unfortunately, we do. We do have some people, and we try to deter these people as much as possible. One of the things is, of course, we feel that, vaping is a much better alternative than to cigarettes. But if you are coming from not having a cigarette addiction and trying to pick this up and then possibly turning it into addiction, we try to deter that as much as possible.
Interesting. 22 minutes before the hour, let's go to John on the line from Norfolk. Hi, John. You're on the air. John, you're on the air. Please go right ahead.
Yes. I was just calling to talk about the etiquette that we covered and everything. What we found...
Yes, ma'am, I'm here.
Okay, John, I think it looks like you work at a vape shop, and we're going to be talking about etiquette. I don't know if you're in this shop right now. How are you handling this issue of etiquette? What have you seen emerging?
What I found is, coming from being a prior smoker, obviously I wouldn't smoke in any indoor environment, yeah, even my own home. Mm-hmm. What I found is that vaping is acceptable in most of the places I've seen, but even I, as a vapor, don't do it in restaurants or bars or anything like that unless they are a, quote, vape-friendly environment.
I see. And how would that be communicated, John? Would there be a sign that says, I mean, or is it sort of people just generally know? How would you know that it's a vape-friendly environment?
Some businesses will have a decal on the front, like John from Pioneer Vapor. Mm-hmm. I know their shop has a sign on the front that says no cigarettes, but it has a Gove e-cigarette symbol on the front.
Interesting. All right. Well, thank you for the call, John. I appreciate it. We're 19 minutes before the hour. It's Charles on the line now from Williamsburg. Hi, Charles. You're on the air.
Hi. How you doing today?
All right.
I had a question about, oddly enough, smokers' rights.
Yeah?
I remember being able to smoke at the grocery store, in the mall, and at restaurants. And, you know, there's sort of this prohibition now over cigarettes. And when the e-cigarettes first came out, it seemed like a really good alternative to sort of get away from that. But now they're starting to regulate the e-cigarettes. People don't like to see you smoking them in restaurants or public places. I've even had people come up to my car and tell me to put it out while I'm in my own car.
Wow.
So when are people ever going to mention that cigarette smokers have rights as well?
You know, I, Charles, it's an interesting question, and I know that you know the old phrase about your rights end where my nose begins, or you know, there's always a lot of variations on that, and in that discourse as a society, we've come to this place, and it's happened over many many years, where we just. We don't have that anymore, right, Alvarine Mack? I mean, this you've been around long enough to see this transition, and so I mean, it's a very interesting question, particularly with regard to e-cigarettes, which may be a little bit different from a social perspective.
Right. Well, I think the first thing to really think about is this policy, as far as smoking around other people. This is not trying to take away the rights of someone, but the regular cigarettes, there are chemicals in there that I can get the same condition as the person is that's mm-hmm. smoking. So we're just saying we need to, you know, close in around that. As far as the e-cigarettes go, as the doctors have said, we don't know what effect that will have on someone else.
Mm-hmm.
But we do know that it, for those that have nicotine in them, that bystanders can inhale them, and if you have high blood pressure or heart disease or if you had a stroke, that can increase the risk.
Thomas Eisenberg, I want you to hang on if you will, and John Espinoza, I hope you'll hang on as well. Edward and Nick, I'm going to come to you in just a moment. This is very short, but we want to play this interview we did yesterday. Sounds like we're playing records. I meant air broadcast this interview we did with Delegate Dave Albo about his efforts with regard to e-cigarettes and minors. We're delighted to have Delegate Dave Albo with us today. He represents the 42nd District in the Virginia House of Delegates. That's in the county of Fairfax, part of that thriving Northern Virginia economy. And he has introduced and gotten passed a bill related to this issue of electronic cigarettes. Delegate Albo, thank you for being with us today.
Thanks for having me.
You bet. What got your attention on this issue? How did you first get interested in the idea?
Well, actually, I wasn't really interested in it. I didn't know much about it, but I'm not a smoker. And then the Philip Morris company came to me with concerns about youth smoking using these electronic cigarettes. Then I started noticing, you know, how prevalent they are at especially at convenience stores and things like that. So when they came to me and they brought me an electronic cigarette, and again, I said, I'm not a smoker. I tried it, and I got the biggest nicotine buzz just off puffing a little electronic cigarette. I mean, the whole thing, dizzy, tingly face, kind of pukey feeling. So that kind of convinced me that kids do not need to be using these.
And this is exactly the point, that it doesn't burn tobacco at all. But it does use liquid nicotine, which seems to be the thing that's heated and turned into a vapor and results in the kind of reaction that that you have just described. Did you have, I know that your bill, which had to do with the possession and purchase of these electronic cigarettes by minors, did you have any trouble getting support for that, both in the House or in the Senate?
Oh, no, it was an easy bill to pass. I don't think we had any opposition.
And that's unusual.
Yeah, well, exactly.
I don't think there are many bills about which you can say that. And so this bill, House Bill 218, says minors cannot purchase or possess these electronic cigarettes and that nobody can sell electronic cigarettes to a minor. How big of a problem do you think that is or was on its way to becoming prior to this legislation?
Well, actually, once this was brought to my attention, I found out it's a real big problem. Some companies are marketing these electronic cigarettes, obviously, towards kids because they're flavored with cherry or vanilla. You know, I mean, legitimate stores don't sell them even without a law. I've never seen a 7-Eleven sell an electronic cigarette to some young person, but a lot of the, you know, kind of independent convenience store type obviously do it. And I've understood that kids in eighth grade are smoking these things. So it's a big problem.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. And what a good bit of work you've done here to get this House Bill 218 passed, which requires that minors not purchase or possess electronic cigarettes and that nobody sell them to minors as well. Thanks so much, Delegate Dave Albo. It's been a pleasure talking with you, and I hope we get to do it again.
Yeah, great. Thanks for calling.
You bet. Take care now. Bye-bye. We're at 14 minutes before the hour. I thought it was interesting that he said that the Delegate Albo said, I think it was Philip Morris had come to him about their concerns with children. It should be noted, at least according to some media reports, that Philip Morris is getting ready to get into the e-cigarette business in the latter part of 2014. And there are, in fact, predictions that 4% of the global smoking market will be smoking e-cigarettes by 2050, and they are likely to outsell regular cigarettes by 2047, according to Bloomberg. So,
yeah, and one thing that probably went into this legislation that wasn't part of the interview there stems back to Poison Control Center calls. So a recent report released by the CDC shows that poisonings from electronic cigarette, from the nicotine in the e-cigarettes has been skyrocketing. They had the CDC, they got about, you know, the Poison Control Center's got roughly one call per month back in 2010. Now it's over 200 calls a month. Most of them are children who are getting, a lot of the times they're not in childproof containers. It can be, the nicotine can be absorbed by the skin. It can be, they can drink it, you know, a lot of different ways to absorb that nicotine, yeah, and cause some serious problems.
John Espinoza, I wonder how much of your business now is children. We've talked to a couple of people who started early on, and I know, I think July 1st, you and your colleagues will not be able to sell to minors.
As of right now, 0% of my business is to minors.
Is that a decision then that you made with it? It obviously is not,
yes,
has not been illegal.
I think you will, yeah, find that a lot of the shop owners in the area are doing some sort of their own, you know, self-policing. Mm. Even though, you know, we have not been forced to not sell to minors as of now, majority of the shop owners that I know personally, and I would say possibly all the shops, especially electronic cigarette store shops in the area, do not sell to minors. And that is just a personal, you know, decision that we have made collectively as a group.
I wonder, though, do you sell online, John? Can you get, I presume you can get these online, right? E-cigarettes, I mean, yeah?
Yes. These electronic cigarettes are widely available online. Pioneer Vapes currently does not sell them.
I see. Because presumably, I guess that would be a way for kids to get hold of them online if you didn't have to demonstrate your age. Thomas Eisenberg, I wonder, you know, I'm really struck in the course of this program, you know, and certainly appreciating John Espinoza for saying, you know, we didn't do it before, we won't do it after this changes in July. But I'm struck by the number of people who've called the program today who started smoking as minors. And I know that we know, or at least I think the data is out there around tobacco addiction and the differences in starting as a minor. Is that a bit of what you may be trying to undertake here in your study of e-cigarettes, or do we know any of that yet?
Well, we know that e-cigarettes are getting more popular amongst young adults and adolescents. The CDC recently released some results that showed that although the levels of recent use were fairly low, around 3% a year ago. They had doubled in a year. And so it looks like they're certainly becoming more popular among kids. I think everybody in the country who is concerned about electronic cigarettes is concerned about this possibility that uptake will begin to really grow amongst underage folks, and they'll then go on to a lifetime of nicotine addiction that they might otherwise have avoided. I was interested in hearing the delegate and his concern for children. I guess one thing that I would have suggested if someone had asked me about that bill would be the idea of making flavors in electronic cigarettes something that we don't allow, just as we don't allow flavored cigarettes in this country.
Mm. It's an interesting point. Edward is on the line from Sandbridge. Hi, Edward. You're on the air. Edward's on the line from Sandbridge. Go ahead, Edward.
Yes, ma'am. Thanks for taking my call. My concern is really, and I think you've actually you've shown it in a way by some of the questions you've asked a couple of the callers. You asked a couple of people if they were taking this as a step toward eliminating their addiction to nicotine and cigarettes, and a lot of them it was more of a switch.
Right, right.
I think all of us are kind of backpedaling here, trying to figure out where the education plays in, because if you ask my parents about electronic cigarettes, they would probably be like, what are those? And we don't really know the effects of them. And mm-hmm. and as one caller even stated, there's chemicals in there similar to that even hospitals would use, that they're clean chemicals and stuff. But just because something is clean and sanitary doesn't mean you ingest it into your body.
You know, so, Edward, you bring up an interesting point. And I think when we, the data seems to show that there are people who are using this to try to quit. And there is also a population that, as you say, is just switching from nicotine delivered through tobacco to nicotine delivered in this way. Thank you for the call. I appreciate it. We should note there's a study in New Zealand. It's a very small study that found a little bit better smoking cessation rate with the e-cigarette as compared to the nicotine patch, but really not a great deal of difference between the two. Nick is on the line from Virginia Beach. Hi, Nick. You're on the air. Nick, go ahead.
You're
on the air.
Oh, thank you. How's everyone doing today?
Fine, thanks.
I and my fiance stopped using regular cigarettes about 8 months ago, and for us it was actually a financial decision. It was a switch both for health, and we do feel better. There's, as some of your other callers have said, there's no phlegm in the morning,
Yeah. Better
energy levels, things of that nature that you would get from, you know, quitting the actual smoking. But it's also much less expensive for us to run the e-cigarettes than it is to buy a regular pack of cigarettes every day at the convenience store.
So what's that cost difference for you, Nick? How does it compare?
Couple hundred dollars a month, because we were both pack-a-day smokers.
Wow. So a pack a day of cigarettes would cost you what?
Well, we both smoked premium cigarettes,
okay.
So it was about $12 a day if we were both smoking a pack a day. Our e-cigarettes, and I guess it depends really on what kind of e-cigarettes you're using. We're using a kind that you just buy the fluid and you just fill up a reservoir with fluid. So the fluid itself, we might be spending maybe $20 a month.
Wow. So you just buy the device and then you've got 20. So that's quite a cost savings.
And once you factor out the initial investment in our devices both ran us about maybe $60.
Right.
And then I guess charging the battery with, paying Virginia Power, but that's negligible.
So it sounds like for you this was as much an economic consideration as anything else.
It was a big economic consideration. For me, I've also used it as a step down. And one thing, I don't know if it was mentioned before I started listening to the program, but you can buy different strengths of nicotine. You can buy 18 milligrams, 16 milligrams. And when I started, I was smoking very strong, full-flavored cigarettes. So I went with a very high milligram of nicotine. I'm down to 8 milligrams now.
Okay. All right. Well, Nick, thank you for the call. I appreciate it. We're at 8 minutes before the hour, and John is on the line from Virginia Beach. So Nick, talking about this from a cost perspective and from the ability to be able to reduce the amount of nicotine he's getting. John's on the line now from Virginia Beach. Hi, John. You're on the air.
Hello.
Hi.
I'm kind of calling the same thing the last caller just spoke about the different strengths. And in addition to that, They have, you can get it without any nicotine whatsoever. I have coworkers who smoke these, and they use without any nicotine.
Wow.
It's kind of a goofy thing they do.
Well, well, John, we know we got that. But, it's an interesting point. And, Alvarine Mack, I wonder if you smoked one of these without nicotine in it, would that be a way to deal with that, what you were talking about, that hand-to-mouth requirement?
I'm sure it could. And I'm glad. Thank you for letting me share something. The change in the behavior of using nicotine involves more than just the nicotine replacement. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a part of this process that the people aren't necessarily told and understand. So I figure, if I do the magic solution, if I do this, or
yeah,
if I do
that. Everybody's looking for the magic, aren't they?
Yes.
So it's hand to mouth, that's a piece of it. What are some of the other aspects that we bring into it when we think about this as an addiction?
Well, it's associated with certain behavior, getting up, drinking coffee after meals, calming one's nerves. And the biggest part of this, if I hope folks will listen to this, calming your nerves. Nicotine constricts your blood vessels. It does not calm your nerves.
Mm, okay. John Espinoza, I wonder, in your store, what strength are people buying? Or I guess that's across the board, but I mean, do you, as you look at the product in your inventory, is there one particular strength that people are buying more than others?
Surprisingly, we actually find that the lower nicotines are some of the best movers on our shelves, anywhere from e-liquid that contains zero nicotine, mm-hmm, all the way to 3 milligrams or 6 milligrams.
Wow. Well, John Espinoza, I want to thank you so much for joining us today from Pioneer Vapes, about which you can learn more at pioneervapes.com. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you.
I just wanted to underscore one point. We've talked about the dangers of nicotine use, but I think one thing that a lot of clinicians are worried about is that people will view this as a healthy and safe alternative to smoking tobacco, and that there are no health risks. People don't wake up anymore now with the coughing and all that kind of stuff, and they think, wow, I feel great now that I'm switched to e-cigarettes. But the risks of the nicotine, the cardiovascular effects are still there, and so I think it's important to keep those things in mind.
And you're seeing that in your practice?
Yes.
Yeah. And so, Thomas Eisenberg, I guess all of this is part of this study that you're engaged in. And when will the study be completed?
Well, we have numerous studies ongoing. So we're looking right now, for instance, you were just talking about the effects of different doses. We've got a study where we're enrolling participants right now, looking at the effects of different doses on the way they feel and on their physiological responses, like the heart rate that was referred to.
Interesting.
Under double-blind conditions. So neither they nor the person administering them know what dose they're getting on a day, and we can then find out how those doses really influence them.
And so where would people be in touch with you if they're interested in participating in any one of these various studies that you have underway on the impact of e-cigarettes?
They should call my lab at 804-827-3562.
827-3562 for our friends in the Richmond area. And you know, I think these studies are always so intriguing to participate in. And this is a growing industry, no question about it. I think we just said that by 2047, e-cigarettes are projected to overtake tobacco cigarettes. So certainly something very, very worthy of study. And Thomas Eisenberg's group at the Center for the Study of Tobacco Products is helping to lead this five-year, 18 million dollar project to find ways to evaluate the claims of e-cigarettes and to see where we go from here. Thomas Eisenberg, thanks for taking the time to be with us today. I appreciate it.
It was a pleasure. Pleasure, Kathy. Thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye. Alvarine Mack, continued success to you at Sentara in helping people who are interested in kicking the habit do so. Thank you for being
with us.
And Dr. Joshua Sill, thank you for being with us from EVMS, from the pulmonary specialty there at EVMS. Appreciate it very much.
Great to be here. Thanks
All
for
right.
having me.
Thanks so much for being with us. Great calls today. I really appreciated hearing from everybody on this, this issue of e-cigarettes. So now, when it's in the news, you'll know a little bit more about it if you are not an e-cigarette user. And we'll be interested as well. We'll post the question on our Facebook page about the etiquette of this, because that's certainly something that we as a society and as a culture get to shape. So we'll put a question on our Facebook page, and by we I mean Morgan, about the etiquette of e-cigarettes, and we'll look forward to your comments. Thanks so much. We'll see you right back here tomorrow.